Our God is indeed awesome. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, praise team. Good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the house. Let's put our hands together for all our mothers that are in the house. Oh, I'm sure. All the mothers in the house, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we are celebrating Mother's Day today, and we're just so thankful for all the mothers that are in our lives, and we're just so grateful. We have many mothers in the church here today. There are grandmothers and great-grandmothers and mothers in general, mothers-to-be. We have all the reasons in the world to celebrate the mothers in our lives and to praise the Lord this morning. I want us to just, I'm going to share a message with us for a little bit, especially for the mothers, but for everybody in general. But let's pray. You may be seated where you are. Just raise your heads or hands or both, and let's just pray to the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for all the mothers in our lives. We thank you for the grace that you've given them to be mothers. We're so blessed to have them in our lives. And we pray that every one of them will feel very special and feel loved and feel appreciated and feel the gratitude from our hearts to all of them for all they do, the support, the love, the caring, the passion they have for the welfare of the family and all they do to support and to uphold the family. And we pray that the joy of the Lord will be their strength always, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning again, you know, to everyone. Praise the Lord. There is something that makes a woman a mother. And it's childbearing and childbirth. You know, so, you know, that's what I'm going to focus on today. And the thing that is so important to the mothers, why they are mothers, is their children. You know, so I want to share the blessings of God for you mothers today over your children. Amen. That's right. Over your children. Because I know that's the most important thing to a mother. That's why she's a mother. It's our children, and that's the most important thing to her. You know, so we want to share the title of my exhortation this morning will be God's Promises for Your Children. That's God's promises for your children. And I'm just going to read several promises in the Bible. And I want the women, the mothers, to pay attention to all of these blessings that God has put upon your children. And the children are the reason that you are mothers. That's the thing that's uppermost in a mother's heart at any time. It's their children. Well, let's see what God is saying about your children today. Praise the Lord. I have some promises to read throughout the scriptures, in the book of Psalms, in the book of Proverbs, in the book of Isaiah, you know, and the book of Jeremiah, and the book of Joel, and the book of Matthew, and the book of Luke. I mean, just many things that the Lord has to say about your children. Praise the Lord. Let me, I'm just going to read through some of these very quickly. Psalm 103 and verse 17. God's, and I'll give my own interpretation of each of these verses. If they put it up for me, that would be great. But I'll give my interpretation. God's righteousness shall be to your children and your grandchildren. This is what God is promising here. I say, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. So that's a wonderful promise, you know, that the Lord gave there. Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2. Because you fear the Lord, and because you do his commandments, your children shall be mighty upon the earth. Amen. He said, blessed is the person. Well, he said he's here, but, you know, the mother also that feareth the Lord, their seed shall be mighty upon the earth. I mean, these are blessings you need to be claiming for your children. You mothers, you know, as I read through today, these promises, begin to claim them for your children. Because I know that children are the thing that's uppermost in a mother's heart. So because you fear the Lord and do his commandments, your children shall be mighty upon the earth. I say, your seed, that's your children, shall be mighty upon the earth. Praise the Lord. Psalm 115 and verse 14. The Lord shall increase you, all you women. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Amen. That's a wonderful promise. Praise the Lord. Psalm 127. I'm just going to go through these very quickly, as I've got a lot of promises here. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. Your children, they are indeed the heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. You know, so that means for every woman that is also a mother in waiting and a mother to be, you will get the reward of righteousness. Amen. For trusting the Lord, children will be your reward. It's he's in the Word of God, and you can't miss it. They will grow up to be mighty prayer warriors, and they will speak with the enemies in the gate. He says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And he goes on to say in verse 5 that if you have your quiver, happy is the woman, this is my own interpretation, that hath her quiver full of them, you know, they will not be ashamed. Your children will not be ashamed. Amen. But your children will grow up to be mighty prayer warriors. They will speak with enemies in the gates. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's read Proverbs chapter 11. And verse 21. God promises that your children will be delivered. Wherever they are, they will be delivered. They'll be delivered from evil. They'll be delivered from trouble. They'll be delivered from even their own errors. And even mistakes that they might make that might set them back in life, they will be delivered. Hallelujah. But here's what the Lord says. He said, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. That's a point blank promise. You can lay hold on that every time in prayer for your children. You know, and say, you know, the Lord said, and you know, sometimes your children might be in trouble or whatever they call you. You know, just lay hold on this scripture. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Amen. Amen. Your children will be delivered. Amen. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26. Now, all of God's children, including your children, shall have a place of refuge in the Lord. Amen. Now, like I said, as we are going through these verses, I'm giving my own interpretation or flavor to the thing. You know, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. That's how it actually reads. You know, and his children, you know, that means all his children, and your children shall have a place of refuge in the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a beautiful, beautiful promise. Now, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. All of your children, because you have followed the Lord with all your heart, your children shall be blessed after you. Amen. Amen. The just woman walketh in her integrity. Her children are blessed after her. Amen. That's right. That's the way I'm putting my flavor on these promises. Your children will be blessed after you. Now, here's a commandment. It's a commandment, but it's also a promise. You know, he says in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old or older, he will not depart from it. So what does that mean? That means if they do depart, the Lord will bring them back. Amen. You know, that's just way. If the Lord says something is going to be this way, and you find out the thing is not that way, well, that means that at the end of it, it must come back to be that way. But that's what the Lord said. It's kind of like Jesus saying concerning Lazarus when he heard the news that he was sick, you know, and said, well, this sickness is not unto death. You know, that's what he said. But then the man died. And so disciples might have been wondering, well, I thought you said this sickness is not unto death. But because the Lord said this sickness is not unto death, even if the man died, he must come back alive. Because that's what Jesus said. Praise the Lord. The end stage was that the sickness will not be unto death. Whatever happens in the middle, that's all right. You know, died or whatever, he must come back to life. So if the Lord says that your children will not depart, and they depart, it means the Lord will bring them back. That's what he means. You know, and that's the way that we must take these promises. Praise the Lord. Now, here's one point back promise for you to claim concerning your children. You know, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. I hope you're taking notes of all these promises. Tons of them in the Bible for your children. And this is especially for mothers, because that's the thing that's uppermost in their hearts. It's always their children at all times. Now, I and the children that the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders. So you and your children will be for signs and for wonders. Your children will be men and women wonder that. People will say, wow, see what the Lord has done for them. Amen. That will be for your children in Jesus' name. Now, here are some promises of God's moving upon your children. You know, the Spirit of God that God promised for your children, here are some promises. Now, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verses 3 to 5, the Lord says he is going to pour his Spirit upon your children. Amen. I mean, some of us are praying for our children all the time. We want them to be filled with the Spirit. We want them to be filled with the wisdom of God and so forth like that. Well, here's a point back promise. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed. That's your children. And I will pour my blessing upon your offspring. That's your children. So God's Spirit and his blessings shall be upon your children. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Isaiah 49 and verse 25. The Lord said he will save all your children. He will contend with those that contend. And he, look, even, you know, the captives of the mighty, you know, shall be taken away. The Lord said, you know, one time the Lord was giving a story talking about, he said, look, when a strong man keeps his goods and he thinks everything is all right, and until a stronger than him shall come upon him and bind him and spoil the spoiler and spoil his goods and take away all his armor in which he trusted. You know, so, look, here is something that the Lord is saying. In fact, let's read it from the previous verse. Give me Isaiah 49, verse 24, and then we just read it from there. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? You know, now, when you have, you know, like the lion or whatever, and he's got his prey, you're not getting that thing out of his hand easily, you know. Or even the lawful captive be delivered. Who is the lawful captive? He said, well, my people went down aforetime and sold themselves for naught. You know, when people do not follow wisdom and do not follow the path of light, they can fall into many pitfalls, you know, and so forth. You know, I mean, because they might have brought it upon themselves. It doesn't matter. You know, he says here, whether, you know, something stronger than them came upon them, or whether they foolishly put their neck into something which they shouldn't have put, they will be delivered. Hallelujah. You know, so, and then he goes on in the next verse to say, the Lord will contend, you know, with anyone that contends with you. Now, that devil is always contending with you, trying to take your children. But the Lord said, I will contend with him. Amen. And I will save thy children. Isn't that wonderful for all the mothers that are in the house? The Lord will save your children. Praise the Lord. Whether they are your direct children, whether they are your godchildren, whether they are your children's children, the Lord will save them all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 54 and verse 13. All your children shall be taught of the Lord. This is a wonderful promise. We're always praying, Lord, teach them, show them your way that they may know you and so forth. Well, the Lord answered back and said, all your children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of your children. Hallelujah. Now, in this world, there is no peace. You know, there is no peace. There's trouble everywhere. But your children shall have peace. Amen. Wherever they are, great, not even just small peace, but great peace shall be with your children. Jesus said in John 14 and 27, he said, look, when I give you peace, I give it to you not like what you can find in the world. He said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, but my peace I leave with you. And this peace shall be upon your children. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let's read Isaiah 61 and verse 9. Your children will be mighty. Praise the Lord. He said, your children shall be known among the Gentiles. You know, even you know, in the world, they will be mighty because the name of the Lord will be upon them. Your offspring among the people, you know, they will be known. When they see them, they shall acknowledge them. Amen. They will acknowledge your children that these are their children of the Lord. And your seed, whom the Lord has blessed. They will know it. People will know it. They will see the blessing of the Lord upon your children. It will be apparent. It will not be done in a corner. Amen. It will not be done in a corner. The Lord will bless your children. And everyone will see it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, the blessing of the Lord, there's really nothing anybody can do about it. You know, and you know, Balaam found out that he said, look, Balak told him, curse these people for me and I will give you a great reward. And he tried to do it and the Lord rebuked him. The Lord even almost killed him. He said, look, you cannot do it. Whom the Lord has blessed, you cannot curse. Hallelujah. So, look, when the Lord blesses your children, he's blessing them already, but he's going to bless them even more. People might be envious, they might be doing all kinds of things, but there is nothing they can do about it. Amen. Because there is no enchantment. Amen. Numbers 23 and 23. There is no enchantment against your children, and there is no divination that can work against them. you know, they can plan it, they can gather together, but they shall fall for the sake of your children. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, here's a promise. Remember when we were reading Proverbs 22 and 6, and I said, well, the Lord said they will not depart. But if they depart, I said the Lord said he will bring them back. Well, let's read it. Here's a promise in Jeremiah 31, verses 16 and 17. Now, this is especially for mothers. You know, and mothers go through this, you know. They go through this a lot. They are crying over their children. Their hearts are weeping because of one thing or the other. It may be your children. It may be your grandchildren. It may be whatever. But here is what the Lord promised. Thus saith the Lord. There is a time for you to weep. Well, but now he says, refrain thy voice from weeping. And your eyes from tears. For your labor over these children shall be rewarded. You have labored, you know, many women, they labor night and day over their children. And even some of them in prayers and everything. Some of them, you drive them to their games. You do all of these things. You are there in the, you know, teacher-parents association meetings. I mean, the women are the ones that do all these things, the mothers. And here's what the Lord said. Your work over these children shall be rewarded. Amen. Amen. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. If they have gone astray, they shall come again. From the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thy end, saith the Lord. That your children, to all you mothers, they shall come again to their own border. Hallelujah. It's a point blank promise. And so when you are in prayer for your children that are gone wayward or whatever, you know, you stay right there with the word of the Lord. And don't give an inch. And keep reminding the Lord that you said they will come back from the land of the enemy. Hallelujah. They will come back. And I'm going to tell you a story at the end of this, you know, to see, you know, that the Lord keeps his promises concerning these children. Now, here's another wonderful promise about the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon your children and what God will do for your children. You want them to be prayer warriors? You want them to be the ones, mighty arrows, you know? You want them to speak with the enemies of the gate? Well, they need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. But the Lord promised this in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 29. He promised a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God upon your children. That's right. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. But that's all flesh. But for your sons and your daughters, their own outpouring will be different. Hallelujah. All flesh will have some kind of outpouring. But your sons and your daughters will have a special anointing. They will prophesy. Hallelujah. You know, these are the things that God promised for your children, you mothers in here today. Praise the Lord. So you can bless the Lord, you know, for your children. You don't have to think that the enemy is going to get, the enemy cannot get them. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so no matter what it looks like right now, have confidence in the word of the Lord. You continue to do your part. Continue to pray for them. Continue to tell them the right thing, you know. And when they do the wrong thing, tell them the right thing. But know in your heart that they will come back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They will absolutely come back. You know, it's guaranteed. Praise the Lord. Amen. In the book of Matthew, chapter 18 and verse 10, the Lord says something here that the angels of these, your children, you know, even the little ones, even your grandchildren, you know, they're always looking, you know, out for them. Beholding the face of the Father, say, what else can we do for these children? And Father says, well, you go down there and protect them. Be a hedge around them. Make sure no evil comes near them, you know, and so forth. And the Lord said, look, whenever they are in trouble, the angels of the Lord are ready to go to their defense. Amen. That's what he's saying here. The angels of the Lord are ready to go to their defense. And Jesus says, look, there is an assurance for your children. They're coming. In the book of Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14, you know, in that story right there, some people were trying to bring their children so that Jesus could lay his hands on them and so forth. And the disciples said, no, we don't have time for the children. Send them away. And Jesus said, no, suffer these children to come unto me. Amen. And forbid them not, because there is a place that is guaranteed for them in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Your children and your little ones, because of the teaching that you teach them daily, because of the prayers that you pray for them daily, there is a place for them in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, for anyone though, in Luke 17 and verse 2, anyone at all that will try to hurt any of these, your children, you know, well, here's what the Lord said. His fate is doomed. It's better for him that he will have a millstone put on his neck and thrown into the sea. That means for him to go and drown than to hurt one of these little ones. Praise God. So let's put on notice the devils, the pedophiles, and so forth. Let's put them on notice. Concerning your children, they cannot come near them. Amen. Because the Lord put a stamp right here. And now, the Lord doesn't want anybody to perish. The Lord doesn't want anybody to drown. But the Lord is telling you how serious it is. If you will even think, if anyone will even think in their heads to hurt any one of your children, well, it were better for them. You don't need to pray that God should do anything to them. The Lord already said it with his own mouth. It is better for them to put something around their neck and jump in the sea than for them to hurt anyone. God will look after your children. Amen. He always will. Now, let me tell you a story, you know, and then I'm going to pray for all the women here. I'm going to tell you a story. Now, Jesus, you know, because of all these promises that we have in the Bible, Jesus himself, you know, was part of a family. You know, he was part of a family. He had a mother. He had brothers and sisters. You know, and the scripture says, look, you know, the promises of God, they are for you, they are for your children. You know, they are for as many as the Lord our God shall call, you will be saved and your household will be saved. Let's look at some of these things. In the book of Acts chapter 2, when Peter was preaching after the day, you know, on the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Ghost came, they said, what shall we do? Well, in chapter 2, verses 36 to 37 and 38, when Peter, you know, had indicted the people and said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Christ that you crucified, he is the very Lord and is the very Christ. This same Jesus that you put on the cross is the very Lord and the Christ. You know, and then their hearts were pricked, we're told, within them. And they said, well, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter began to tell them what they shall do. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, for the remission of sins. For this, you know, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You have to skip to, you know, verses 38 and verses, you know, 39. You receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why? In verse 39, here's the secret. He said, for this promise is not only unto you, but is also unto your children. Amen. Now, don't ever leave your children at home when you're going for a night vigil. You know, drag them along, even when they are still little, you know. Don't put them with babysitter and then you go to church. What's that all about? Bring them along. This promise is unto you and to your children. As many as the Lord our God shall call, even those that are far off. You know, the great things that we are wanting the Lord to do in our lives, they are for your children as well. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, let's read some stories, that God promises. You know, I'm coming to the story of the life of Jesus, but let me quickly read this. I almost forgot this. God promises forgiveness of sins to your children. He promises revelation of the Father to your children. He promises strength, you know, and victory over the devil. Let's read this. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. This is, I write unto you, little children. Now, these are your children. God has promised here forgiveness of sins to your children for his name's sake. Amen. He says, I write unto you because your sins are forgiven. So God is putting it right out there. Prophetically, he says it, your sins are forgiven. Now, even right now, it may look as if they are still in the land of sin. Their sins will be forgiven because God has said so, and they will come from the land of the enemy. Amen. I write unto you, fathers also, because you've known him that is from the beginning. You know, but for you young men, that's all the mothers in here that have young teenagers and growing, you know, young adults and so forth like that. Don't worry about them. You know, put them in the hands of the Lord. Here's what the scripture has to say of them. He said, they have overcome the wicked one. Amen. That's right. I write unto you, the little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you because you are strong, he told them. You have overcome the devil. He said, look, I have written unto you, young men, in verse 14, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth with you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now, that's prophetically. He put it out there, but you can claim that for your children. You can say, Lord, the word of God says that my young men, they are strong. My daughters are strong. The word of God is abiding in them, and they overcome the wicked one. Praise the Lord. You can claim those promises for yourself. Now, let me to the story that I want to tell you about Jesus and his family. You know, because these things are in the Bible. Say, well, you know, in Acts chapter 16, the jailer, Paul and Silas in prison, and so forth. Say, well, what shall we do? You know, after the Holy Ghost busted them, you know, the prison bars and everything, you know, and then they said, wow, what shall we do? He said, well, you will be saved and thy house. You know, you will be saved and thy house. You know, so you can read that story in the book of Acts, the reading Acts chapter 16, but that's not my lesson here, but I just want to bring out a point that the Lord promises that we will be saved with our house. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thou shalt be saved and thy house. That means your children. Praise the Lord. And there, you know, a lot of, you know, women, even single mothers and so forth, they have to do, you know, double duty, raise the children, be the mom, be the dad, be the provider, triple duty at times or whatever. Your children will be saved. Amen. Just keep on doing the right thing. Praise the Lord. Well, let's look at the life and the story of the family of Jesus, whether they were saved or not. Because, you know, I mean, the Bible says that our family will be saved. But what about his family? Was his family saved? Well, let's find out. You know, there is a story in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. This was the beginning of the ministry of Christ. In John chapter 7, his brethren said unto him. Now, there was a feast that Jesus wants them to go to. His brethren also, they said to him at that time. So let me pull it up here and read it to you. John chapter 7. If they put it up for me, it will be quicker. I'm just going to read the first few verses, you know, of John chapter 7. You know, his brethren here. And when they say his brethren, they're talking about Jesus. They're talking about his natural brethren, you know, his natural brethren. You know, and Mary had other children, you know, James, Judas, Joseph, all of these people. And he had some sisters and so on. Now, so some of his brethren, they said unto Jesus, depart you from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that thou doest. At this time, I don't think they were part of those disciples, because they are pointing to the disciples, you know. At one time, the Bible said that Jesus, you know, called his disciples, and all the other people followed him. You know, so these people, you know, say, well, let your disciples, you know, see. He said, look, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If you do these things, I mean, they're trying to tell Jesus to self-promote himself. Say, look, promote yourself. Go out there. Be on television. Be on media. Be on this. Show yourself to the world. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. You know, and look at the commentary in the next verse. Show me the next verse after this. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Now, this is natural brethren. At this point in time, they didn't even believe it. They're talking about his disciples. Let your disciples, you know, show yourself to the world. You know, they're trying to support him, but they didn't really believe him. And Jesus told them, look, my time is not yet. You go and do whatever. My time is not yet. Jesus didn't really listen to them. But I want to show you that his brethren were converted. Praise the Lord. Because, I mean, if the people in Jesus' family were not saved, then how can we believe that our own family will be saved? You know? So, in the book of Acts chapter 1, we read in verse 14, you know, Jesus had told his disciples, he said, look, tarry ye into Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. These ones that didn't believe at one time, here they are waiting for the Holy Ghost. Amen. They were all there waiting for the receiving of the Holy Ghost. Well, did they actually receive the Holy Ghost? Why, absolutely. Let's read a story, a letter, you know now, when Jesus was on the cross, in John chapter 19, he's looking at his mother is down there, you know, and the heartbreak. I mean, consider the heartbreak that the mother of Jesus had to go through to see her own son being crucified right there on the cross. She was right there in John 19 with some other women and so forth. And Jesus, looking down, he saw his mother and he saw John, and he says to his mother, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. Now, so he's trying to put them together. They should look after each other and so forth. Even on the cross, he's still mindful of that. But let's see. You know, later on, you know, in the book of 2 John, this is the epistle of 2 John that he wrote in verse 1. Let's read it. We're not told here who it is, but I believe who it is. The elder, this is John now. He's much older now. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not only I, but also all they that have known the truth. Now, at this point in time, let's read on. Let's read on the next few verses. Just give it to them, me quickly. For the truth's sake which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Go on. Grace, he said, be with you. Mercy, peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Keep reading. I rejoice greatly. Now, this is a testimony. I believe the elect lady that he was writing to here is Mary. You know, because he said, I now rejoice greatly that I have found of thy children to now be walking in the truth. As we have received commandment of the Father. Now, these children, at one time, they didn't really believe. And, you know, John wrote on here, he said, look, not only your children, but also your sister. You know, and we know that Mary had a sister. She was right there, you know, with her at the cross. You know, and, you know, said, look, I rejoice now that your children, you know, talking to the elect lady, and I believe he was writing to Mary, and church tradition will also tell you that, though it doesn't name him here, but I believe that's who he was, you know, he's now rejoicing that the children came to the Lord. They are walking in the truth. Praise the Lord. Now, I believe that the family of Jesus himself was saved. You know, I mean, his family had to be saved, because otherwise, you know, he would have told us that our family would be saved and his own family is not saved. No, that wouldn't be right. So his family would be saved. Now, all these promises that we were read today, I show you this story just to let you know that at one point in time, even if they did not believe, like he said, at first, even his disciples did not believe in him. I mean, his brethren did not believe in him. But later on, we see that they are now believing. They are now even waiting to receive the Holy Ghost. And they all receive. All those people that went and tarried on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And Mary, his mother, was there along with his brethren. So all these promises that we see today, that we have read to you, they will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. But let me share with you some of the things, the burdens that women have to bear. And this is the reason why we're going to pray for them now. There are many things, you know, that women have borne. Even in the scriptures. And I was speaking on Clubhouse earlier today and sharing this with some that were listening and said, look, there are some things that people in the scriptures, some of the women, they've had to go through. Beginning from the first woman ever that graced the surface of the earth. Her name was called Eve, the mother of all living. Eve was the mother of all living. There was no, you know, other than herself and Adam, everybody else had a mother. Everybody else. And she was the mother of all living. That's what the Bible called her. But did you know the pain, you know, that she had to suffer? And I asked people, I said, look, when you think of Eve today, the only thing that we remember of Eve is that, well, she was the one that the devil deceived. That's all we remember. But we forget the pain that she had to put up with. Because if you read the last two verses of Genesis chapter 4, in Genesis chapter 4, you'll see where she had two children. And one killed the other one. And then she finally got another one. And the pain that was in her heart was brought out. She said, the Lord has restored me another son. Because one of them was killed. Can you imagine a mother losing her son by the hand of another son? Have you ever thought about that? And people don't talk about that in terms of Eve, the pain that she had to put up with. And there's a lot of things that women had to put up with sometimes. I'm going to tell you some of the sorrowful things here and some of the joyful things, and then we're going to pray for the women. She went through that. It was painful to see she lose a child. And it was a child that was slain, you know, by Cain. We've seen other people that had to put up, women had to put up a lot of things, many stories in the Bible. Some of them had to give up their children. Hannah was such a woman. She asked for the child. They said, look, Lord, if you give me this child, I'll give him back to you. And then when the child was grown, I mean, when she weaned the child, she was faced with, well, this is a child you've been praying for. Now, you've got an opportunity to embrace this child. She's embracing the child, breastfeeding the child and everything. They are forming a bond. But all of a sudden, now she has to give the child away. Because that's what she promised the Lord. You know? And I guarantee you that that was not an easy decision. But she did. She packed his things, took him to the house of the Lord, and gave him to the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? Now, there are some women that have done some great things in the Bible. You know, she followed through with what she promised the Lord. Even though it was very hard to give away that child. She gave him away to the house of the Lord. And he became a mighty prophet. Praise the Lord. There are other women like the mother of Moses. You know. And all the women, when their children were being killed, their sons were being killed. All the pain that they were suffering. Seeing their Egyptians kill the male child in front of them. Right there. Because they didn't want, you know, the children of Israel to, their population to explode. And they were killing their children. And these are things that women had to bear. And the mother of Jesus, the mother of Mary, she hid this child for 3 months. And the soldiers would come, ransack the house, she would hide the child. You know, they come, and finally when she couldn't hide anymore, she made a tough decision. Well, this child is going to be killed if he remains here. You know, so it was a painful decision she had to make. Consulted with her daughter, the older sister, they built a little ark. They were, we're going to put this child in the ark, and we're going to put him on the ark. On the River Nile, and see what happens. You know, and by the grace of God, they did that. And his sister followed for a bit. But eventually, you know the story, she had to give away this man. She gave away this boy. And even though, by the wisdom of God upon Miriam, she cajoled Pharaoh's daughter into letting Moses' mother be the nurse without Pharaoh's daughter being any wiser. But this woman, the pain that she had to go through, because she could not reveal to her son that she was a mother. She had to go through that. She had to bring him up as an Egyptian. And it was a pain that she had to go through all her life. You know, and Moses grew up thinking that he was an Egyptian because his mother could not even tell him that she was his mother. Now, here are some of the things. Women have gone through some things in that Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Until this day, and I have many stories, time will fail me to tell. But women have gone through all kinds of things. Until today, they are still going through. But go through, they will, because they will not crumble, in Jesus' name. All our women are coming out on the other side. No matter what you are facing, you will not crumble. Women have been through a lot. Eve did not crumble. You know, Hannah did not crumble. But Moses' mother did not crumble. They went through. Praise God. You know, even, you know, by faith, the Bible says that, you know, some women received their dead back to life. They believed God in the book of Hebrews 11. They did all kinds of things and so on. You know, now, women, today we have all kinds of things that they've been through. And they are still going through. In the society, in many cultures, and women are treated as second-class citizens. Sometimes even in Christendom, in the kingdom, in church, in churches and so forth, women must be silent, put down, and all these things and so forth. Well, whereas the scripture actually says that in Christ, you know, there should be neither male nor female. Hallelujah. But yes, you know, let your women keep silent in the churches and so forth. There was a reason behind that. If you want to listen to that, I can show you the lesson we've taught on that. But that's not my story today. But women have to put up with all of these things sometimes, you know, and it's hard on them. And sometimes they got to put up with, you know, the pregnancy. Sometimes difficult pregnancies as well. And some women have, we see even in scriptures, some women, you know, they knew they were going to die. But they hung in there to bring forth that child, and then they died at childbirth. They just, I got to bring forth this child. And they say, well, don't worry about it. The child lead, and then she died. You know, and so on. You know, they will do anything. Give their life for that child. Amen. And they go through a lot of sorrow. A lot of pain. And Jesus himself talked about that pain that they go through. You know, when they have that childbirth and so forth. You know, but the joy that comes when that man child is born. You know, and these women, they are so strong. You know, some people think that women are feeble. I tell you, they're so strong. Because they can go through this stuff. I mean, you think after all that pain, the first time, that's it. As soon as the child is born and we, the woman wants another one. You know, and then like, that pain is not enough for you. You want another one? Yeah. You know, they've forgotten the pain. But that's exactly what Jesus said. Because of the love that they have to hold that child. Well, praise that child.
There's nothing like it. Because when they give suck to that child, you know, and so forth like that, they carry that child in their womb, there's a bond between them and that child. Nobody else has it. The blessing of the breast, we're told, comes upon the child from the mother. Hallelujah. Even the father doesn't have. The father has his own, you know, but he doesn't have the blessing of the breast. He can't do it. God has appointed that for women. Glory to God. And women, they are the ones, they are the multipliers. Hallelujah. The woman has the seed, the man has the seed, the woman does the multiplying. Amen. When you bring them into the family, they are the multiplier. You know, look at me. Look at me today. You know, 50 years ago, I was a single man going nowhere. Today, I'm a great man because I have wife, children, grandchildren. Because my wife came in there and multiplied. Hallelujah. He said, be fruitful and multiply. You know, and the Lord, he put the fruitfulness, you know, in the man. You know, and they put the multiply in the woman. You know, and they come in there, they multiply. They are beautifier. They come in there, they beautify your life. Amen. And the man ought to let the woman dance. Because she can do great things. God has put something in there. Can come in there and so forth. You know, the godly women, that of course, that is, can come in there and they can build, they can do something great with their family. You know, the godly woman, she builds her house. Now, we're not talking to any foolish women. There's no foolish women here today. Amen. The foolish women are the ones that tear their house. We're not talking about them. We're talking about the godly woman. Praise the Lord. You know, and they build their house. They help their husband, you know, and so forth. They love and honor their husband. You know, Bible says they love your husband. Teach the young ones to love their husband, to be chaste, you know, to raise their children, to teach their children. And these women, they do these things. Look at all the things that Proverbs 31 says about the woman, how hard they work, and so on. And today, some women have to work jobs, raise their children, you know, and so forth. And they lose, some of them lose their husband, either through death or divorce or whatever, you know, and they have to stay right there. You know, one woman came to a prophet and said, my husband is gone. You know, now, you know, these people have come to take my sons because we can't pay the mortgage, we can't pay the rent, we can't pay the bills, and so forth. This is a storm of the stuff that the women have to go through. But just like the Lord, he gave the word to the prophet to sustain her, the Lord will sustain you. Amen. Every woman that is in here struggling with, I got to raise my family, I got to do this and so forth, the man is no longer there, you know, for whatever reason, the Lord will sustain you. Amen. The Lord will sustain you. Praise the Lord. But never give up and never give in. Praise the Lord. And let's not be thinking of women as, oh, the woman is the one that brought the fall. What about Adam? Adam should have not put his foot down and not do it. Hallelujah. Adam should have said, the Lord told us not to do that. The Lord told us not to do that. But he didn't do it. He went along with it. And look at all the problem that we have today. You know, so, but I guarantee you, the women, they are so blessed. Praise the Lord. God trusted a woman first with the message of the resurrection. It was a woman that he trusted. The first person that Jesus would appear to was a woman. And out of whom, in fact, on top of it, a woman that was despised and rejected. That had seven devils and so forth like that. You know, but Jesus, he cleansed her. And once you are cleansed, you are cleansed. Amen. Jesus is not even looking about the fact that you had seven devils. That doesn't mean anything to him. That was then, this is now. Once the Lord has cleansed you, you are cleansed. And the woman was right there, and Jesus said, go tell my brethren. And trusted her with the message of the resurrection. Hallelujah. You talk about some powerful women in the scriptures and some of the things that they've done. And we want to honor these women today. And we can see these powerful women. You know, everywhere you go, in every ministry, right here, in this place, right now. Look around. Count the number of women to men. When you call the prayer line, the women are there. Praise God. They're always there. It's always the women, you know, and so forth like that. You know, I'm on a ministry on the clubhouse and so forth. And I would go in there. It's women. You know, a few men here and there and so forth. But the women are there. They get up early. They are there. They'll pray. They'll support. They'll love the word of God. Praise God. So, enough of despising the women. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today, we honor the women. And I want the women, all the mothers that are in the house, please rise and come to the front. There's a couple of rows here in the front. We want all the women. We want to honor all the women. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All the women, mothers and mothers-to-be as well, come on down and fill these rows. We want to honor you today. Praise the Lord. Ah. And the women, always so colorful, you know? Always so colorful. Look at all the colors. The green, the blue, the white, the orange, the yellow, and all that. Praise God. Come on. Fill up the two rows. Praise God. We have grandmothers. Show grandma a seat, would you please? We have grandmothers, even great-grandmothers in the house. Great-great-grandmothers even. My goodness. And without these women, where would we be today? And every one of you, would you sit down, please? Every one of you that has someone to honor in your lives, we want to honor them with you today. And there are some women who are mothers. Would you sit down, Sister Veronica, please? There are some women that we want to honor that may not even be your mothers. They may not be here with you today. They may have been like your stepmother, godmother, auntie, whatever raised you. And sometimes even a big sister, they step in there, they raise the little ones after their parents are gone or whatever. And these women are so, so wonderful in our lives. For everyone that is in the house, that's not sitting in these rows up here, would you stand and let's put a round of applause to all these women. Come on, stand up and let's honor the women. Would you stand and honor the women? Stand up and honor the women. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are going to pray for these women. You know, sometimes they've done so much and they are still doing so much. And they have to put up with a lot. And we pray for the women, not only those who are physically here, but those of you who are here, you are a cross-section representing women across the body of Christ. And there are some women, you know, that are in trouble. Maybe their marriages are not working and so forth. You know, hopefully that's not you. You know, but we want to pray. We want to remember them. We want to pray for women, the burden they have in their hearts concerning their children, concerning their homes and so forth. And we want to pray for all of them. Now I'm going to invite the church. Let's pray for these women. Those of you who are here, let's raise your hands and point towards them and bless them in the name of the Lord. Open your mouth and pray for the women. And you women that are here, receive all these prayers and all these blessings and promises that we called out already today for your children. Receive them in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we pray for these women. They are born, they have toiled, they have had patience, they have walked, and then they have walked. And they continue to walk, and they continue to bear patience. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the impact
that they have made in our lives. They are our, some of them are our wives, some of them are our mothers, some are our grandmothers, some are even great-grandmothers. And they've been tremendous in our lives. We give you, Lord, the praise. We give you, Lord, the glory. We see even in the life of Timothy, his mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice, passed the faith down to him and so on. And many of these women have done the same. They have labored, they have taught their children the scriptures, they have prayed for their families, they have done great things. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Now your walk over your children and your household shall be rewarded. And all the promises and the blessings that we called out today shall be yours in Jesus' name. Now, we want to celebrate the women, these women, wonderful women, and their church, the men, the young men in the church. They put together a little something that they want to do. But before we do that, there's one more thing I want to do. Praise the Lord. Because I know after this, I may forget. So let me just do it right now. Grandma, I hear that you are traveling back on Tuesday. Grandma is traveling back on Tuesday to Nigeria. Praise the Lord. So let's pray for her. Praise the Lord. Father, Lord, we pray for Grandma as she's traveling back. The Lord that brought her here safely will also take you back safely. The eternal God shall be your refuge and underneath his everlasting arms. And the Lord will go before you, make straight the crooked places. There are indeed some crooked places that you have to deal with. And the Lord will make them straight. When you get home, even before you get home, the Lord will go before you. He will make straight the crooked places. He will grant you the desires of your heart. The enemy shall not exact upon you or your loved ones or your children or that which is yours. All the stuff of the which you have labored shall not belong to the enemy. They are yours to enjoy all your life in the name of Jesus. Lord, you go with her. You strengthen her. Strengthen her health as well. Strengthen her body. Strengthen her mind. And the peace of God go with her, even on this trip. And our testimonies we abound in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated. The church may be seated. Praise the Lord. You know, we're going to do the offering and all of that afterwards, after we finish this segment. You know, and I see some of the men are standing at attention. Well, they've got some surprise gifts for the women. And I believe that if your mother is here, you want to celebrate them. Brother Kelechi, Brother Okwe, Brother Henry, Brother Paul, they're all back there. They have the gifts. And all the people that want to celebrate their children, I mean their mothers, you can go there and take one of those gifts and come and present and celebrate your mom. Yeah. You can do that. Your mother, your grandmother who are here, let's celebrate them. The rest of you who are seated, I'm sure you have mothers here. Go and grab something, one from each family. Grab for your mother, one representative from your family. We only have one for each mother, so if there are two or three children here from the same mother, only one person needs to do it. And then you can, you know, come and celebrate your mom. Where's Brother Paula Boy? You ready? Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's celebrate. Praise the Lord. Celebrate. Celebrate. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You can go ahead and sing. What are you going to sing for us? Can you sing Sweet Mother? Do you know how to sing Sweet Mother? You don't know that one. You know how to sing Sweet Mother? None of you know that. Which country did you grow from? You know how to sing. All right, sing anything you want. Let's bless the women. Come and celebrate your mothers. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Mothers, wives, grandmothers, they are all to be celebrated today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the young men, thank you for everything that you're doing. They will help to make sure everybody gets, even if your son or daughter is not here, you will still get a gift. They will help you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The ladies are helping. Praise the Lord. Well, let's make sure everybody has a gift here. Over here to Mommy Christy. And Sister Chioma, did you have one? Sister Mommy Alice, you have one? Praise the Lord. Mommy Grace, you have one? Do you have one? Oh, it's in your hand. Okay. Over here, Grandma. Yeah. You got it. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, we are celebrating our women that are in our lives. And I want to celebrate my wife also. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Love you, hon.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Grandma, we love you too. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, we love all the women. We celebrate you. We thank you for all you do. God bless every one of you. We want to make sure that all our women, we have enough gifts for everybody. And even if they're not here, we'll have something for them. We want to make sure they have something. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together again for all the women in the house.